The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Shearwater Group has reported a strong revenue growth in its interim results this morning, and I'm delighted to be joined by Phil Higgins and Jonathan Hall to talk me through the numbers. Gentlemen, welcome.
Good morning.
So, Phil, if I could start with you, can you talk me through the update and give us the investors some key features of what's been going on in the first half?
Certainly. So, as you know, we changed our fiscal year end last year. And so we just completed H1. And I'm glad to say we got off to a good, strong, robust start. And we're very pleased with our progression so far. And we're looking forward to meeting forecast expectations at year end.
Great stuff. Well, revenue grew in the first half by 31%, which is pretty impressive. Yet adjusted EBITDA was essentially flat and the growth margin fell from 30 to 20%. Jonathan, to what extent is that purely accounting versus underlying margin pressure in the services business?
No, it is primarily the accounting point, as you mentioned. People might remember at the end of last year, we revised our accounting policy specifically as it affects provision of third-party cloud-hosted software solutions and also third-party support contracts, part of our services business. The majority of our work on those kind of contracts is in the upfront part of work. It's understanding the client's need, it's identifying the right solution for that, it's going out and procuring that solution and deploying it for the client. IFRS 16, however, is reasonably clear that when the client enjoys the benefit of that over a period of time, we need to spread a proportion of that revenue and the cost of sales over time, which is what we now do. What that tends to mean, however, because we still reflect a significant portion of our margin on deployment, because that's when our work is done, where we deliver cloud-hosted software solutions, we tend to get a spike in margin in the period, and that's followed by a longer tail of lower margin revenue that follows while the client continues to enjoy access to that cloud-hosted solution over a period of time. What we're seeing in these numbers is that in the comparative period, which actually has been restated from the interims last year, we delivered two big cloud-hosted solutions, so we had a relatively high jump in margin, actually much higher than for the full year FY25 numbers, you'll see. What we're seeing in this year is the solutions we've deployed are mainly on-premise solutions. We recognise at a point in time, and we're also benefiting in that revenue growth from that longer tail of revenues, which are carried forward from the previous year. So as you say, actually, in terms of the amount of margin we're delivering, it's very similar year on year to what we've had in the past. But we've got that dilutive percentage margin effect coming into play.
So I'd like to dig in a little bit on that, if I may, Jonathan. So your services division delivered 37% revenue growth, which is, you know, impressive by anybody's standards. But effectively, the growth margins have fallen to 17% from 24%. Now, should investors think of that as the new margin profile for the business, or is this just a temporary sort of move?
No, I think that the more sensible margin to look at is what we typically deliver over a full year. If I look back at the contracts we've actually deployed in the year and we accounted for the full value of those contracts at the point we deploy them, then our margin in the services part of the business over the first part of the year will be 22%, which is consistent with what we delivered over a full half of last year. So typically, we're an H2 weighted business. You'll remember we moved our financial year end last year to come out of that peak of contract delivery we often have around sort of March, April time each year. And I think as we go into that second half of the year and we're delivering more solutions, we'll start to, I think that effect will be normalised and we'll see a more typical profile across the full year versus where we are or where we were for a sort of 6 month versus 6 month period.
Okay. Operating cash outflows was 2.3 million in the first half. And cash ended the period 2.2 million. Now, even adjusting for the £1.5 million payment you received in January, how comfortable are you with the balance sheet if growth continues at this pace?
Yeah, then we're pretty comfortable with it. So as you say, there was an anomaly in there. So typically the profile we will have through a year always sees a little bit of a U-shape. As I say, we're an H2 weighted business. We do a lot of our billing, our cash collection in the second half of the year. So we always tend to see a little bit of a drop towards the middle of the year. But that was exacerbated this year. We had an opportunity to close one contract where to lock in the pricing, we needed to place an order with a customer and to pay, or with a vendor, and pay for that before the end of the year. The customer needed to pay for it out of their January budget. So we had a 1.5 million payment received in early January, which related to a solution that we had procured, paid for, and delivered prior to the end of the year. So On a normalized basis, our cash was about 3.7 versus 3.6 at the same half or same point in the previous year. That's a relatively typical profile for us, and we're reasonably confident that that cash will grow quite strongly in the second half of the year. So now, overall, it's a robust balance sheet. We're trying to put it to work in the best way we can to drive margin and profitability for investors. We continue to be relatively comfortable with the stability of the balance sheet we have.
Okay. And then sort of moving on to the software revenue, that fell 12% year on year, despite the higher margin part of the group. How strategic is the software division today, and should investors expect it to become a bigger contributor again?
I think maybe I can help with that. Obviously, so one of the things we've noticed, obviously, there's been a shift in the market where we've seen a little bit more interest coming in for on-premise authentication, which is where we sit. So we deliver on-prem and we sit in the cloud as well. So we're covering two parts. We're non-partisan when it comes down to the technologies we can connect to, whereas some of the bigger players there, they're kind of exclusive. Microsoft developed very well for Microsoft in the cloud, but not everyone wants to be with Microsoft. So we are finding a niche in that. And as you know, we employed a new sales director to help drive sales. We had a restructuring where we brought in a Geolang division to create the efficiencies inside the business there. So we're still supporting that side of the business. We're up to standards in terms of the compliance requirements we need to meet to actually be a good quality authentication technology. And so we're still supporting that, and we believe that there is opportunity in that software side, and we'll continuously drive our sales and marketing efforts towards that.
Good. And then so to wrap things up then, I would say that, you know, one takeaway I'm getting from this is that, you know, the second half performance for the business is, you know, far stronger, materially stronger. And I suppose the big question for me would be, what proportion of the full year revenue and EBITDA, you know, most of it proportionally lands in the second half, but how much of that is already contracted versus pipeline?
There is still a reasonable amount in the pipeline, but I think we're feeling reasonably confident with what's in the pipeline. Certainly, a number of the businesses in the group tend to operate on shorter term contracts. So it's our penetration testing, our software business that we tend to recognize as we or close to when we sell those particular contracts. We can see a decent chunk of margin already from what we've sold, but we also typically close a significant proportion of our solutions business in the second half of the year. So We still have some of it to close, so we can't sit here and say that it's done. But we can also say that if things progress as we expect them to, we will be delivering on that market expectation. I think it's worth mentioning that, you know, we had a strong year last year, a big increase in both revenue and profitability, and the expectations this year for an adjusted EBITDA of 2.4 million on an annualized basis, that's 30% up on what we delivered last year. And we're you know, you can never say the number's done until you've got out and got that. Signed contracts and the cash is in the bank, but we're feeling positive about the position we're in, what we can see ahead of us, and I think we're in good shape the full year.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time this morning. Congratulations on the results today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.